Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia.
Kevin, the Moscow Mush Militant. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 204, another week full of ups and downs. Off the pitch, not so good. Nathan Teller's out. Che Adams seemingly following, possibly. Three loney signings in. On the pitch, a home win at last. And it wasn't pretty at times, but another 3 points. And today we will focus on that QPR game from Saturday, discuss all those incomings, outgoings, potential outgoings, and look forward to next week's big trip up to Sunderland. Going through all this with me is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton and Tim Bazance. Kevin first. Good afternoon, Mush. How are you?
Yeah, okay. I'm fine. I'm glad to be back on the South Coast again.
Enjoy the St. Mary's atmosphere once again.
In the varied weather.
Yeah, we got caught in that, didn't we?
yeah, we should have got in a few minutes earlier because we absolutely tipped it down, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I think we were still enjoying the drinks, though. But yeah, it was It was fine. And we had a trip to the snow stadium in the week as well, didn't we? Or the day before.
Oh, yeah.
And bumped into Calvin Davis. Had a good chat with him.
Yeah, and Shannon Sievright was
there. Yeah, Shannon Sievright was there. Yeah, we said hello to her. Yeah, no, it was good. Apart from that.
Hobnobbing there with the Saints elite.
Yeah. And Tim, how are you? How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been really productive. Things have been going pretty well, and I really can't complain.
Good stuff. We'll start with the positives then, because we've got three big points. We're moving up that championship table to fourth now. Adam Armstrong grabs his fourth of the season. It's a first win at St. Mary's since Leicester on the 4th of March. Wow. Blyn Downs and Ryan Fraser, I mean, they looked good, didn't they? But sorry, there are some big problems. There's no Che in the squad, as we know. Jack Stevens looks to be out for a considerable amount of time. And that Nathan Teller news has just left us all reeling. And we'll discuss that in the news. But first, very, very quickly, our Discord, I mean, it's continuing to grow and lots of more people are joining. And so if you do want to join, just get in contact with us, or, you know, through the socials, email us or whatever. You can join in with all the discussions, the predictions, the fantasy football, all free to enter. So just hunt us down if you really, really want to get in there. Anyone's welcome. And a reminder, if you're enjoying the show, then please support it by visiting buymeacoffee.com/in that number. And I want to say thank you so much to the anonymous person for buying us a few pints this week. So that was very, very generous.
Yeah, cheers, anonymous listener. You can be proud of yourself.
Right, okay. Fellas, we've got some news to go through. Should we do that right now?
Yeah. This is ITN In That Number News.
ITN News, then. We'll start with the big one, Nathan Teller. This was something
Fuck
that...
Fuck yeah.
What?
It's my reaction.
Oh, okay. Something that I prepared for back at the start of the window, but things just seemed to settle, didn't it? And yeah, he was subject to bids, but I don't think... Well, I didn't think we were going to accept any of them. I mean, and even last week we discussed the possibility of him moving on, and I really thought, given his great start to the season, that we'd keep him. And more importantly, he wants to stay. But, you know, here it is, 20 million quid to buy Leverkusen. And it was official as of Sunday morning. It's a real kick to the gut, really. And, yeah, all of us gutted about this. Although, I mean, it should be said, because, I mean, there was a lot of bad reaction around the stadium on Saturday saying that, you know, I can't believe this club's doing it again. You know, they're stripping all our assets, but I think once the dust settles, you know, you have to remember that he wanted out. The money was good, and if he doesn't want to be here, there's really not a lot you can do about it, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. If he doesn't want to be here, then, or if he feels the opportunity to be able to succeed, Xabi Alonso is a fantastic coach at Leverkusen. I have was a fortunate opportunity to go watch a game and be able to check out the area and see the fans. When I was there over in Germany one time, actually probably a couple of years ago now. And to me, if he's going to be able to have that European, you know, the opportunity to play in Europe, play in a fantastic league like the Bundesliga, it's going to be a good time for him. And I really hope for the best for him. But really what comes about it is concerns that we don't have enough, available to us. So I will reserve my judgment for talking about Sports Republic until the signing window closes. But right now it does feel like our assets are being stripped, and it feels they're very VC-like, and eventually we're going to be stuck in the championship. So we need to be able to replace him and then some in order to be able to succeed and get promoted.
And it does seem like that, Kev. I mean, yeah.
It's a paradox, really, isn't it? Like, we're in the championship. Everyone's excited about this season. We're going to have a great season, get promoted. And in order to do that, we need to have players that are good enough to be in the Premier League. That's what it means. If you win the championship or finish second or win the playoffs, that means that your team is good enough to be in the Premier League. Therefore, you need Premier League players. And we're in this championship season and we're getting players leaving to championship, to the Premier League and the Bundesliga and other leagues. It's going to leave us with a championship quality team. And that means that we're going to stay in the championship. So if we want to get back up, we're going to need to replace these players with proper quality experienced players.
It's always been the way with Saints, though, isn't it? If they're not doing so well, they struggle and they either get relegated or come close to getting relegated. If they're doing really, really well,
even if we're doing really well, yeah, it's the same thing.
Like, you just lose the players that are good enough. That's what I'm saying. It's like it seems to always happen. And we are doing ever so well in the Championship. You're winning 3 from 4. But you still, you know, your players want to leave. And that's what's disappointing about it. And he said that, Russell Martin had said, Kev, that he was training separately on Friday and he was travelling to Germany on Saturday morning. I just feel let down by him. I mean, his decision. It's not so much, but I mean, when I heard the news, I wasn't very happy yesterday. Just like, oh, Sport Republic have done it again. You know, what are they playing at? But at the same time, it's his decision. You know, he seemed well. He seemed happy. He was scoring, but clearly not wanting to spend any more time in the Championship. And once again, Kev, on a business front, you bought him in from Arsenal for nothing, from a youth, made 20 million on him. It's good business. But, you know, we're still losing those key players.
Again, if Che goes, that would be good business. Player with a year left on his contract, leaving for a little more than we paid for him after so many years of service. Okay, yeah. But, you know, it's only a good deal if we replace them. You know, if these assets are off the books, you know, that's fine. Our squad's getting thinner. That's what we wanted. It's just we're losing the good players, not the poor players.
Well, exactly. And Tim, in terms of the replacement, Russell Martin has said that Ryan Fraser was in the building before the Teller deal was agreed. So he's not the replacement. And he said he will be replaced. I mean, do you expect Sport Republic to pull the trigger and make the big money move? Because we know that Leeds have done that now. We've missed out on another target there. I'm going to quote him directly, actually, because he said we will reinvest and replace him. Ryan Fraser is already in the building, but he is not a replacement for Nathan. We will also add to the group in that position. So to me, that seems like there's going to be a big money replacement for him, you know, between 10 and 15 million pounds possibly, and then they're going to get some loanies to back up as well. That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if they were looking to sign a replacement for him and knew about it, I do believe them, which is why I'm reserving judgment till the end of the transfer window to really make decisions, because I felt we were looked really weak in attack without Adams and without Tella. So to me, we better reinvest. Otherwise, I'm not going to be very happy whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we had a bit of we struggled a bit on Saturday, didn't we? We had the two youngsters, Sam Amayor, the two Sams, let's just say that, on the wings. And yeah, I know one of them scored. The other one wasn't as effective until Ryan Fraser came on, a little bit of experience. So maybe that's the path they need to take, a little bit more experience up there. Che Adams, Kev. Now, the Everton bid has come in, right? And it came in again, because I think they upped it. And this has been rumbling on for ages now. Very, very unsettling. And I think this is so, so important, especially now that we can keep hold of him. Because, you know, he was supposed to be offered the new deal. And this new deal was said to be a fresh 3-year deal, which includes the vice captaincy. Which, looking at the situation now, it's going to be caretaker captain, right? Because Stevens is going to be sidelined for a while. This is a clear indication that the club wishes to keep hold of him. And then 2 p.m. Saturday afternoon, not in the squad for QPR. And you get that sinking feeling again. And yeah, but I mean, I've also heard as well that Everton have agreed a deal for Udinese forward, Beto. So is this an indication that Che isn't going there, or are Everton just going to keep buying and buying?
I don't think they can they? I mean, they're quite hamstrung financially. So you'd think that it'd be one of the two.
Well, but in that case, yeah, let's just say Che 30 million, then he's yours.
Oh, wow. I think the price on his head's a bit lower than that. But exactly. I mean, with Teller kind of, it came out of nowhere because we thought he'd go to Burnley or he'd stay. Because he seemed to enjoy himself, at both clubs. And, you know, move to Leverkusen. I mean, that's a big move, isn't it? For Che, I mean, I'd be over the moon if he stayed. But I guess we just have to be prepared. I mean, he's ostensibly an Everton fan. Everton's his middle name, isn't it? One of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't think it's a good move for him. I mean, they're rock bottom of the Premier League. And if they think that Che Adams is the answer to all of their worries, I think they're very much mistaken.
Yep. No, I agree. But Tim, it's another tough one to take. And I mean, I'll get to the Russell Martin comments on Che in a bit, but it was clear indication that Che is keen on the move. But at least, you know, he's going to be undecided on it at the moment. But yeah, actually, no, I'll read those quotes, what you said about him now, Tim. So he says, bear with me here. I spoke to Che on the phone on Thursday after we offered him a new contract, and then spoke to him again on Friday in the office. We came to an agreement that he wasn't in the right place to give everything he's got. Both of them played last week and were brilliant despite all the noise. It's been a long week for both of them, and the dynamic has changed slightly, but I've got no problem with either of them. I don't want him to play while all this is going on, so nothing has changed from last week, really. We've also offered him a new contract, and he's getting pulled from pillar to post. He's getting so much different advice, and it's really not easy. He's been a bit heavier this week, energy not quite the same, and that's not intentional, not one bit. He just hadn't been the same energetic and vibrant guy we know, so it's definitely weighing on him, and I didn't want him to put himself through it. Or did not think he was right to help us. It was my choice. He didn't down tools or refuse to play or anything like that. He'll be pleased we won, and it will come to a close this week one way or another. If he goes, we will replace him. If he doesn't, I'll be really happy. So Russell Martin saying that it was his decision, basically, to take Che out of the side, which is, I mean, do we believe that? Is that?
I don't understand it. I mean, yeah, I mean, if he's not right, if he's saying he's not there mentally,
there's no change from last week, though.
Right.
I mean, he should have been there mentally last week. He was under. There was a lot of noise last week, which Russell Martin had said. He said, the players are still giving me everything in training, and they're still being selected in the Plymouth game.
Still being paid to do a job.
Exactly. What's changed? Now they're being asked to train separate. Che Adams and Nathan Teller. Again, you say nothing's changed, but you decided to take him out of the team because his head wasn't right. So I don't know.
Bollocks. No, he should have been playing. We missed him, definitely.
I agree with both thoughts. Number one is, you're right, it's a business, and the goal is to win and go out there, and Che is the best opportunity for us to, you know, play as a top striker up there and be able to score goals. If Che and Adam Armstrong stay this season, I feel very confident in us to be able to be in the top five goal scorers, pending they don't get injured, in the league, and a really good chance to absolutely make the playoffs, but a decent shout for automatic promotion. So we want him. We need him to be here. But I do agree with Russell, too, is that if there's the mentality is not there, you go out and you give a half-assed play, you don't want that. You want to go out there and be successful. So to me, I think there's that man management perspective, and it transcends beyond the business sense. And so while I understand and I actually applaud Russell for doing that, he needs to recognize that next week, if Che is here, he needs to be one of the first people on the team sheet, and he needs to be all in, and he needs to be able to coach him up to get to that point. So, yeah, we were able to survive with QPR, but we're not going to be able to do this with the September run-in, with starting with Sunderland and beyond. If he's here, great. I want him to be here. I don't want him to leave. I think he is one of the talisman to be able to get us to 35 goals between Adam Armstrong and him.
What about this Udinese forward with Everton then? Do you think that's that's them saying they're done with Chase and Che?
So here is my, I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat here. I don't think he's going to go to Everton, but what I'm really scared about is Tottenham just opened contact with Nottingham Forest for Brennan Johnson for something ridiculous like £50 million. And then I think they're going to turn around and offer that money to bring Che in and have Che and Iwanui as a, you know, a 1-2 strike partnership. That is my tinfoil hat, and I'm scared that's what's going to happen, because that is
that kind of makes more sense.
Yeah.
That seems way too realistic for me.
And we're also not forgetting the fact that this is kind of what happened with Nathan Teller. We were thinking it's Burnley or nothing, like Kev just said. Why are we assuming it's Everton or nothing? If it's not Everton, it could be somebody else. There's still a week left to go, so we have to be prepared that somebody else is going to come in for him. Maybe that's why Che hasn't signed this deal yet. Maybe he's waiting until the end of the window, and he's making a real decision on his future here, to make sure he does the right thing. And if he's still here, I've got no doubt, Tim, if he is still here by the end of the window, then, you know, he'll be named captain while Jack Stevens is recovering, and he'll give it his all. I don't know.
I do too. I think that's the right thing. But we need to get through the window first. And
yeah. Oh, God.
If Spurs buy Johnson, super scared that they're going to go out and then flip Johnson for 50 million pounds and then pull Che in for 15 million pounds as his replacement. And then we're stuck with, we should have gone for Perot at that point. that we're playing that hypothetical and then we're, up shit's creek.
Yep. And we've left it too late. Yeah. It's just one more week of all this nonsense, of course. And you can see why the managers hate this, the window continuing into the season, because all this uncertainty, it must be so unsettling for everyone. It will soon be over. Incomings. Yeah, exactly. Flynn Downs, Kev, 24-year-old defensive midfielder from West Ham, season-long loan, straight into the squad on Saturday. Made his debut after 25 minutes following that Stevens injury. I like him. I've always thought he was good. He's a very intelligent footballer. One for the purists, I think. He likes to tackle. Absolutely perfect fit for Russell Martin's style of football. I mean, his pass completion percentage is brilliant. Ranks highly in the possession stats. And I don't think many are complaining about this deal, right?
No. He seems to, kind of a replacement for AWDP or Labia. He did fit straight in. Yeah, we were kind of expecting him to be in the starting line. It's a bit surprised to see him on the bench. But, it's quite telling that Russell Martin saw that Jack Stevens' injury as an opportunity to test him out. Obviously, because the most logical thing when Stevens was injured would be to bring on ABK,
who was on the bench.
A bit strange, but you can kind of see the logic behind it. You want to try him out. That midfield, I think it needed a little bit of something, and he definitely gave it that, and gave us a chance to see Shea Charles in the centre-back role.
I'm convinced that Flynn Downs wasn't going to be starting. I didn't think he would be. I think he was going to come on. But I thought he was going to come on for Stuart Armstrong, because that Stuart Armstrong doesn't play 90 minutes these days. But then again, because it all changed, he did play 90 minutes, see? Flynn Downs had to come in. And he was a stand-in captain as well for Jack Stevens. So, yeah, I think Flynn Downs was put into that role a lot earlier than he thought. But I did expect...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Russell Martin to put him on at some point, maybe on the 70th minute, just to shore up the win, possibly. But yeah, and Tim, Ryan Fraser, that was a weird one, because that was out of left field, I think. I mean, I know lots of fans weren't impressed with this one. But I liked him at Bournemouth. As much as you can like a Bournemouth player, that is. And I thought that move to Newcastle was a good general promotion for him, but it didn't really work. I mean, the Saudi takeover didn't help him. And I think he had a falling out with Eddie Howe as well, so... And he's just kind of blended into the team there and gone pretty much unnoticed and not really getting those minutes. But I wasn't unimpressed with the signing. I thought, yeah, this is OK, but just couldn't really understand it, because we need strength and depth. But that's not a position that we really need to be filling. Having said that, I thought he was brilliant yesterday, and he's definitely won some people over there.
So Fraser plays on both wings, and he's older and he's got the experience. So historically, he's really had a falling out with Eddie Howe during COVID, and then he had a falling out and probably didn't really like Bruce up at Newcastle, which doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But he's looking as the opportunity to get up and to be, to get his next move, whether that be with us if we get promoted, or, just somewhere else where he can be successful. So he needs to be able to show his ability to be, a player on the field, because he hasn't been and produced anything in a number of years. So to me, I think that, as we saw, this was the right depth signing needed. And whether or not we have an option to buy, I don't know that. So to me, I have no problem with it, because the realisticness of, you know, what the long-term effects are is that he sucks and we don't get promoted. Well, we're not stuck with him.
Mm.
So, I'm ultimately fine with it. I think I like the Holgate signing more than I do like the Bray Fraser, but I have nothing against it whatsoever.
Exactly. Yeah, well, Holgate was a necessity, wasn't it? A centre back that we need, especially now.
I suppose it could apply to Ryland Fraser, or Mason Holgate, or Flynn Downs. I mean, these are the kind of signings we were screaming out for last season, right?
That's exactly what I was going to say, yeah. I mean, the Mason Holgate one would have been absolutely amazing, you know, 12 months ago.
I mean, I think they've hopefully learned the mistake that you can't just constantly bring in youngsters that were unproven and expect them to perform in the Premier League, if we do get back, right? But yeah, we've got experienced players from the Premier League now playing in the Championship, so which should be, you know, an extra bonus.
Yeah, well, that's just, yeah, this is it. This is what we needed to do. And as I say, he's 29 years old, Ryan Fraser. He's got the experience, which is, again, something we need. Experience is key and all that. Very, very quick. Very small also. He's only 5'4".
He looked, I thought... Like it's like I zoomed into the rest of the team when I was looking at him. He seemed to be on a different scale to everyone else.
Low centre of gravity, though, yeah.
He's a kind of chunky barrel of a lad, isn't he? He's very strong. Yeah, he did a lot better than Amo Amior.
Mm. Well, you need that strength as well, don't you?
Beating players, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like 5'4". We don't expect to see him on the end of crosses, just putting them in. So. Yeah, that's not a problem. I mean, I did see him having a chat with Steve Cook, actually, during when the ball was out of play, because obviously they're friends from their Bournemouth days and all that, which was nice to see. But and Mason Holgate then, Kev. Sell it back. Desperately needed, and especially now that Stevens is out. Real, real bad one. Good signing, this one. And yeah, he's 26. And he can also play at fullback too. So versatile defenders are always very, very useful. And he seems comfortable playing out from the back. The ball at his feet is how Martin wants to play. And more importantly, Kevin, Russell Martin is filling his, you know, these gaps with players that fit his system.
Yeah, I'll say it again. He'll slot straight back in. back there, I did it then. yeah, it's 26. I mean, he's a bit like Teller. You know, he's kind of one of those eternal promising youngsters. You're like, fucking hell, is he that old?
That's still not old, is it? It's a great age.
No, but I mean, yeah. I think a great age to prove yourself, yeah. You should be at his prime, really.
Yeah.
This deal, do you think it's maybe a sweetener for Che moving in the other direction?
Oh, don't say that. I hadn't even thought of that.
Could be.
I don't see why it should. That's not how it works. That's not how it should. That's not how it should work.
These two unrelated, yeah.
Is that Flynn Downs one as well?
Like Flynn Downs, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And what's the Ryan Fraser one then? Is that Tino?
There you go. It all links up.
I hope not. But yeah, Tim, you said you were more excited about Mason Holgate than you were about Ryan Fraser. Is it just because of the gaps that we have at centre-back, or is it because you actually like this player a lot, or both?
I think he fits the need more, and the reason being is we were not afraid to be able to score goals the last few games. Wasn't afraid about that. Now, obviously, with Tella leaving and Adams potentially leaving, yes, I am. But I think that us leaking goals, especially after people we have just scored, is the opportunity for us to improve on that. And whether that be in the fullbacks or in the center backs, which I think we just, you know, they need that challenge to that emphasis. And Holgate is the right person to come in at 26. Could really fit in, slide into what Russell Martin is looking for. And now with Stevens being out, Lianco probably leaving, ABK pretty much leaving, he's going to get definitely some time to play. And I'm just hoping that it's going to go well, because I really do think it could be very promising for both us and for Southampton and for him.
With the injury to Jack Stevens, surely the club should be doing everything they can to be able to keep Amar Belakotchap now. He's still a quality player, don't forget.
He made the World Cup squad for Germany, of all things. That's ridiculous. We had a World Cup you know, center back. We had two of them with Salisu and with Belakashev.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And Bednarik. So there's three of them.
Let's not forget.
Ancelotti.
No, he didn't make the Croatian squad. No, he didn't. But let's not forget, right, that Southampton have made enough money this summer. They don't need to make any more. Armand Belakhachev's still under contract. They could just pull out of everything and say, no, he's not for sale. Why don't they? I mean, they can do that. Whether he wants to move or not.
Should be secondary, shouldn't it?
And if they really, really want to keep him, they should just say that. Like, he's not for sale. And I don't really know about the bids that have come in from him. I know that Bayern Munich were interested, but I mean, he's got a contract until 2026, I believe. So make the most of him.
Yeah, and you've got to think that, okay, we talk about good business and that sort of thing, but he's the kind of player that you could develop into a defender if he gets, you know, a regular spot in the squad and makes that role his. Yeah, if he gets in the team and plays regularly, he can be built up into a player who's worth a lot more than clubs are offering for him now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to keep him still. I still would. A bad one again. I'm going to go for a Jack Stevens injury. An update from Russell Martin. And he said fear for the worst. Not exactly the headline I was expecting to see this morning. It looks like a bad one.
Is he always going to say this?
Fear for the worst.
Is he always going to prepare us for the worst? Yeah, like with all the previous injuries. So it's like, oh, it looks really bad. And then he said 3 weeks later, he's back in training.
Yeah. Again, it could just be a ploy to keep people, you know, stay away from him. But I don't think anyone's going to be putting in a bid for Jack Stevens anytime soon. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're already searching for leadership roles and now we've lost another one. So it's are we thinking 6 months? Are we thinking the rest of the season? What? Well, I mean, we don't know, do we? We don't know what.
Do we know what the injury is?
No, we've got no idea. It ain't going to be ready for next Saturday. Let's face it.
Yeah, it was a weird one, wasn't it? He just sort of just lifted his hand up out of nowhere. It's not as if he was tackled to the ground or, you know, fell or something like that. He just went, felt something.
Those are the worst ones, aren't they, really? It's just
and dropped to the floor. Yeah. Yeah, we've heard some news about the other injuries that we've had. Cowdean is going to be back soon, apparently. We can kind of, we're expecting him to be in the squad against Sunderland. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, Russell Martin said quite a lot of good things about Camaldine, that he's very impressed by him. So, we could potentially see him in Sunderland. And
he's the teller replacement. He's the teller replacement. That's it.
There you go. He's like a new signing. And yes, Smallbone as well has made a quite speedy recovery. So we'll see him. Very soon. And we talked about ABK. Apparently he played in that behind closed doors friendly against Brentford.
Yeah, exactly.
So, he must be fit. That makes it even more weird that he didn't come on. For, but like we said, we wanted to see Finn Downs and we got that.
Yeah.
The other injury, Daniel Simiu ruptured his Achilles. Did we mention that last week?
No, he didn't. And I feel bad about it because I was there when I saw it happen. I saw him get carried off the pitch and I still questioned why he wasn't in the squad against Liverpool on Friday night.
Just had a bit of a brain fart.
Yeah. Like, does that mean he's gone out on loan? But no, he's out for a while, it seems. So, yeah, speedy recovery to him. Anyway, September, it's here. So that means we have to look at the upcoming schedule, and it's a busy one. It's a tough one. After the September is over, we'll, you know, the season will be well into it, and we should know whereabouts we're likely to finish. But as I say, some big tests in short amount of time. We've got 5 games in the month of September, and that's with an international gap as well. So after that Sunderland trip next week, we have that break. And then we've got 4 games in 15 days, which is quite brutal. So we've got Sunderland at the Stadium of Light, got Leicester, Ipswich, Middlesbrough at the Riverside, Leeds at home. So there's only 2 away games and both of them are in the northeast. So it's good to get those ones out of the way. Get those long trips out of the way before the festive period.
5 games in a month doesn't sound brutal until you bring into the equation that there'll be a week without football. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. It's tough, but 3 home games. But those home games, Leicester, Leeds, Premier League teams last season, and Ipswich, who started winning, you know, won 3 out of 4 games this year. So, Tim, how many points are we getting from them?
I think we're going to get 11 points.
Wow. I'll certainly take that.
I think 11 points. I think we'll have three wins and two draws. I think we'll actually stay undefeated.
Oh, wow. Wow, that would be something. I mean, if we can stand defeated at the end of September.
That's pending Adam stays. If Adam doesn't stay, it will be probably like 7 points.
Yeah, transfer news. Oh, we talked about Nathan Wood last week, didn't we? But that £10 million bid has been rejected by Swansea.
Right, yeah.
Which is a shame, because that could be a very, very good signing, especially now that we're down a centre-back.
Well, we're up a centre-back as well now.
We're just two
centre-backs up now with Mason Holgate and Bella Kotchap back in the equation. So, yeah, I don't imagine that's going to go anywhere. James McAtee from Man City.
Is that back midfielder. On?
I mean, the rumours are still burbling, but yeah, I don't believe it.
One move that is over is Joel Pirro, obviously. He's gone to Leeds and scoring ways instantly. So, yeah, that's a shitter.
It's a fucking shame, really. We maybe should have said to Shay earlier on the season, if you want to go now, because we're going to bring in Pirro. Is this going to be Cody Gakpo Gate Mark II?
Possibly.
We're going to regret signing him.
At a smaller scale, albeit, but yeah. Mm. West Ham defender, Ben Johnson. He can play fullback or centre back. I think he's mostly predominantly a fullback. But he's coming to an end of his West Ham deal. So that will be a good signing, I believe.
If he can play fullback, that would be quite good, actually. Yeah. Probably going to need cover in those positions, aren't we? 28-year-old Granada forward Mertis Uzuni. Yeah, scored 23 goals in last season.
As long as we don't get that Shankland, I'm not interested.
Yeah, what a name, Shankland.
That's going to be the name of St Mary's now, isn't it?
Shankland. If we've got no goal scorers, just stick it around. Just wide of the post, yeah.
Thierry Small has completed another loan move to St Mirren. So, another one out.
Oh, right, because when did that news come out?
Yesterday, I believe.
Right, because we were talking about why he wasn't in the squad.
Yeah, well, there you go.
On Friday.
He's off to St Mirren again.
Yeah, you said he must be out on loan again. All right, well, yeah, good luck in Bonnie Scotland. Groningen midfielder Johan Hove. Yeah, these are just completely empty, salacious rumours, but I do love throwing them around. My favourite one of the week, I mean, yeah, there's the rumours of Bianca going off to Brazil, but my favourite one that I've heard in the week is us getting Lavia back on loan. Glenn Johnson apparently thinks that could happen.
Oh, well, if Glenn Johnson says it, then it must be true.
Yeah, it must be true. Always trust the Johnson, mate, yeah.
Yeah.
I do think we could, I mean, there's probably enough players at Chelsea that we could pull one of those recent signings that they had. I was, you know, hypothetically thinking, you know, who's realistic? David Washington, they just signed from Santos or some Brazilian team for a ridiculous amount of money. And then, I think there's other opportunities as well that we could potentially do it. Although they've had like 9 or 10 first team injuries. So they probably just need to keep everybody.
Has Lavia even been in the squad for Chelsea? I don't think he's even been on the bench, has he?
No, he's not been in the squad.
It's only been two games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chelsea played yesterday, didn't they?
Oh, they played on Friday.
Sorry, they played on Friday. Correct. That was the week before that as well. He wasn't in the squad when they played West Ham, because I was hoping that it was going to be Prowse against Lavia, but it never happened. Is that it for the transfers?
I hope so. In every sense. Yeah.
Okay, so we need to put out our polls for the goal and player of the month for August. We'll discuss that, and then we'll put the polls out in the week. So, yeah, look out for them and make sure you get your vote. A lot of candidates for both, actually. 11 goals scored, so we've got to try and whittle those down to 4. And some very, very good individual performers of the month. So as long as we don't give it to Nathan Teller, then, yeah, it's fine. Under-21s, then. They played on Friday the 25th against Liverpool at Snow Stadium. A 3-0 loss, Kevin.
Yeah, it was kind of devastating. I mean, it was more damaged imitation. They scored after about 90 seconds. It's ridiculous. But, I thought we were going to get absolutely knobbed, but too bad. I had a couple of chances. I was quite impressed by Chosen One.
Yes, I was as well. Yeah, I thought he played well. Derek Abou, yeah, right back. I thought he was very, very keen to go forward. And he was shouting for the ball quite a lot. So, yeah, he played well, considering that, obviously, he conceded 3. But, yeah. And, yeah, as I say, we got to see Calvin Davis.
Yeah, and John Ballard in action.
Yeah. And they play next on Friday the 1st, and they play at Fulham, at Motspur Park. Tottenham Hotspur Park. Sure they'll like that. The women, pre-season is done. The season kicks off today in an hour. They played their last pre-season game and it ended well, actually, with a 2-1 win over Aston Villa at Villa's training ground. That was behind closed doors. So goals from Katie Wilkinson and Lucia Kendall after conceding an early one in the third minute. So, yeah, 4 o'clock kickoff, and they play Lewis today, so the start of the Barclays Championship. So good luck to the ladies. And the under-18s, they kicked off with a 2-2 draw at Brighton last Saturday. They were 2-0 down after 12 minutes, but produced a second-half comeback and grabbed a great point. Two goals in 2 minutes from Will Merry and Josh Pitts. And next week they play... Oh, no, they don't play next week. They play the week after, Saturday the 16th, and that's Norwich at Staplewood. OK, right, QPR then.
Never seen anything like this before. A group of men who display all the normal life signs but seem totally incapable of movement.
Never seen QPR play away then.
QPR then. 2-1 win, 3 more points, and a first senior goal from Samuel Adozie after 30 minutes. An instant reply from Jack Colback. Not the first time we've conceded straight after taking the lead. We probably need to work on that. But yeah, Adam Armstrong continues to his impressive start with the winner after the just after the hour. Two assists from Ryan Manning, which was good. I've got him in my fantasy football team, so there we go. And debuts for Flynn Downs and Ryan Fraser with high praises. Jack Stevens down and out, but a win at home for the first time in 175 days. So yeah, job done. Tim, it wasn't pretty at times. We struggled to break them down. Actually, just like, I mean, I was talking to Kev on the concourse at halftime saying that this is going exactly how Tim's preview went, that we, you know, they would set up to try and, you know, stop us. Obviously, that's what you've got to do anyway. But you know what I mean? It was going to be very, very frustrating and we're not going to see a lot of breakthrough. And that's exactly what happened. It just seemed to the first half seemed to drag, didn't really go anywhere. But, you know, eventually the cream rose to the top.
Yeah, well, I think it was easy prediction if you've ever watched Gareth Ainsworth. He did go a little less direct than I expected, but I think that's him playing to the strengths of Chair and Sinclair Armstrong, who's...
Did you see his leather snakeskin shoes, by the way?
Okay, if we want to talk about him, like, I get it. The rocker look, it's cool, it's him, it's niche, it's all whatever. Bro, wash your hair. That thing looked so greasy that I could probably smell it all the way over here. And yeah. Oh my God, it was, if I was in the stadium, I would have looked at it and like it would have glowed because it needed to be washed that bad. And I could smell the old dingy backwoods bar stank that he, you know, at the concerts that he would be playing at. And then yeah. The dive bars, and he just probably smells like Marlboro Reds, and it was
the shoes that got me. Come on, mate.
And they were light, too, yeah. Compared to his dark. Like, it didn't really match. It wasn't like he had, like, light-skinned shoes, and then it was all black and gray.
Something tells me he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. Does he actually have a pub band?
I don't know.
Maybe he does.
But yeah, as I say, we got the win. But the starters then, Bazunu, Walker Peters, Bednarik, Stevens, Manning at the back, Alcaraz, Charles and Stu in the middle, Amo Amayar getting his first start, Adam Armstrong and Sam Adozie. But yes, the one thing that had us concerned, Kevin, was the omission of Che Adams.
Step into the world of power, loyalty. And luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But considering no Teller, no Adams, this was the best 11 that we could do, right? No complaints.
Yeah, I mean, arguably you might want Downs in there. Who he'd replace is a good question. Charles, well, Armstrong, Alcaraz, any
Alcaraz
of them.
Alcaraz hasn't really started the season too well, has he? He's been
he was
a little bit
sloppy yesterday, wasn't he?
And very sloppy yesterday, yeah, probably. He got a yellow card as well, didn't he, for arguing with the ref. But, you know, he hasn't been himself lately.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a few stupid yellow cards, so I didn't understand what any of them were for, to be honest.
No, the referee was just very, very card happy.
I think that was all we could really put out. I think it seemed like Alcaraz wasn't fully fit, and that's why he wasn't doing too well, because we saw in the first two games of the season, he was really good. Like, I think it was... I think, you know, he showed that quality that could be that talisman, the 10, that, you know, the backing up the center forward. But to me, I didn't see any other better options than what we had available, especially with Adams and Tella being out.
Yeah, no, I was happy with it. And yeah. And yeah, I mean, Tim, it started just like we expected, and looking to get on the ball and to pin them back. Lots of progression and hoping to break them early. Like you said, we need to get them early. That's what we tried to do. I don't think it really worked. I mean, it quickly became a game that was kind of petering and not really moving like we wanted to. I mean, I don't know how you felt, but watching it at the stands, it was just, it wasn't what I was, I wasn't really enjoying it.
Well, I think that's the concept of possession for possession's sake. And that's where you saw Swansea fans be upset last year that it didn't seem like there was a lot of progression. It seems like we're holding onto the ball. We're able to get it in the middle third and push into the final third a little bit. But for those teams who don't have as good a quality as us, they're happy to sit back and let us dink and dunk around it. If you take a look at I don't want to compare us to Barcelona, but you know, they're perennially always have the possession base, and it's very slow moving at times. They just happen to have the quality who can break in and score whenever they want, whereas we don't exactly. So to me, I think that's going to be the way the rest of these games are going to go for the rest of the season, except for, you know, for Leicester, for a couple others that are going to be much more lively. But I think you're going to see probably 17, 18 teams where we're going to have 70% possession, and it's going to look like we're not even being successful.
We got there in the end. But yeah, Kev, Flynn Downs comes on, makes his debut a lot quicker than we expected. As we mentioned, Shea Charles slips into the centre-back role. We had the discussion as well, like, why is Bellacott up on the bench if you're not going to use him in emergencies? But Downs did a good job, you know, and it does look comfortable. You have the second most touches on the pitch, and bearing in mind he didn't start the first 25 minutes, so that's great. Two tackles, one interception, 116 passes completed from 117 attempted. Now, that's 99.1% completion percentage, which is excellent. Progressive passes also, so that, you know, wasn't just sideways or backwards. He had the most carries. I just think, Kevin, he's going to be a very, very important cog in Russell Martin's system.
Yeah, I mean, you know, big boots to fill in the middle of that midfield. But, yeah, I think he can definitely do the job for us.
Yeah, and he did. He did yesterday. He came in and, as I say, difficult circumstances. Wasn't expecting to get the nod like he did. And, you know, the reshuffle and all that. But, yeah, we did get the breakthrough. Samuel Adozie after 30 minutes, his first goal. Looking back at that, actually, that pass from Manning was special. That was brilliant because, you know, Dozie then takes the ball, runs with it, cuts inside, and has a shot, and the skate couldn't keep it out. So, yeah. Poor goalkeeping, has to be said. But, yeah, really, really delighted for Dozie.
Yeah, I mean, it's unlikely in many ways. I mean, yeah, Begovic, kind of that unlikely fumble there. Yeah, that unlikely assist from Manning, and yeah, Dozie with the unlikely shot. It didn't, you know, look like it was the most powerful shot when we saw it live.
But, I mean, kind of right at it.
But on the replay, it looks a bit more powerful. But yeah, I was a bit confused with why Begovic couldn't deal with that.
Because he's a skate. Once skate,
and it was kind
skate.
Of out of nowhere completely, that goal. Like, nothing was really happening just before it, and then.
Yeah, exactly. Took a well-deserved leave, though, Tim, and which is what we've been doing all season, start from the front foot. But it didn't last. It didn't last last week against Plymouth. They were nowhere near looking a threat. And then, you know, we get what we deserve by taking the lead, and then we concede. Now, this is a problem because this can't continue.
It's a recurring theme, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit like the set pieces, which we didn't concede again, by the way. So, yeah. And, you know, that changes the game, Tim, because right away they're back in the game. And they're against the run of the play, Colback hits a beauty, by the way, off the post, and it's 1-1. But what's the problem? Why? I mean, I remember when we scored, I was thinking, because we were right behind the ball again, we looked really, really focused. And I was thinking, right, Russell Martin must have said to the lads, don't concede straight away again. Don't let that happen again. And I thought, yeah, we're not going to do it again. Not going to do that again. Not going to. Oh, shit, we've done it again. But, yeah, I mean, what's the problem with this, Tim? Why are we caught with our pants down again?
So I'm going to give Colback, that's who scored the goal, correct?
Jack Colback.
Yeah. I'm going to give him more credit than probably what's, you know, the timing is really unfortunate because it's happened multiple times now this season so far. But Colback's shot from that far out, I mean, you want him taking shots from 25 yards out. And the context was that it was there was a clearance, and then it was just an awkward clearance and deflection, and the timing was just like lucky for him to be in a position and then be able to make that shot. I think that's more good on him than it was bad on us. So, but because of the timing, that's what screwed things over. So if you have them continually shoot from 25 yards out, they're likely to get blocked. They're likely to miss. And there's not as much talent in the championship for people to make those shots. And the percentage that they're going to be, I guess I'm okay with it. But it's just really unfortunate.
Yeah. And Kev, I didn't say I blamed Bazunu, but looking back at it again, it was one of those ones like, oh, you're not getting anywhere near that.
And we both did at the time, and it was a goal that sort of came in slow motion when we saw it happen. we thought that Bazunu would be able to get to. I mean, unfortunately. I mean, Amo, you get sloppy, just losing possession, real careless to touch, and Shay Charles doesn't get a foot to it when he could have. Again, I think I agree with Tim. It's the timing there. If the time had been, you know, a fraction of a second, maybe you would have got to it. But it's just a bit too quick to beat Charles. And then, yeah, Bazunu kind of, I don't know, yeah, comes in off the post behind him, doesn't he? He kind of makes the save, but he just doesn't quite get to it.
So, yeah, yeah, very, very good.
Unfortunate.
But then all of a sudden, Tim, QPR on the front foot after that, spraying passes out wide to Sinclair Armstrong, I believe. It wasn't him, but Sinclair Armstrong put them 2-1 up, didn't he? But saved by the flag. And it's, I don't know, QPR just kind of like enjoyed a little bit of a decent spell after that, after their equaliser. And it went on to the second half as well.
I mean, that was a clusterfuck of a goal, because I could see it sort of unfolding right in front of us, with Kyle Walker-Peters just gets beaten right in front of us by the corner flag. Armstrong, I don't know what he's doing. He starts sort of breakdancing in front of Ilya Chair. Just drops to the floor and starts sort of going around in circles. And then, Bazunu does make the save, but doesn't quite smother the ball. And that's enough for Armstrong to tap it in. And I thought, we were fucked then. Because they're going to absolutely park the bus and make things difficult for us. But yeah, so like, I heard the whistle and the flag, and I was like, thank God for that. Because Armstrong, he was causing quite a bit of trouble. He was making life difficult down that our right hand side. Amo Amiyar was, I mean, because he's a bit of a unit, isn't he? And Amo Amiyar is
not.
A bit of a bantam, yeah.
Yeah, he's a bit of a lightweight, but yeah, he's 17. Tim, second half overall, you look back at it and think, yeah, it was good, but it didn't start that way. Bazunu makes a good save from Chair after Alcaraz was caught in possession. They had another effort that went to the left of Bazunu's post, and they had one that hit the bar, you know, and this all came because we were completely controlling the game at this before they equalised. And then straight into the second half, I was preparing for a loss at this point, Tim, and we just simply weren't good enough.
Really?
Yeah, you saw me at halftime. I was fuming.
But I mean,
My prediction of a draw was sitting pretty good there. And once again, I'm fortunate that they were eventually able to score. But to me, I think, and we were talking about they have enough attacking talent that can really could have changed us. And we getting caught out of position alongside being such a high line created those chances. And so to me, outside of basically a Dozy ripping their team apart for the entire first half and for maybe at least a little portion of the second half, I think they had more attack than us, which was kind of scary. Scary to think about without our team, without our attack, primarily attack with Adams and Tella, it makes sense. So to me, with Armstrong being able to be caught offside, which was right, and Bizuna making the right save, it looked scary. It looked like a draw to me, that how it was going to end up. And I think they ultimately were lucky, but we just pursued and were able to have more talent to get the second goal.
Yeah. So many Armstrongs on the field is confusing. Three of them, but yeah. And I think, Kev, we'll go to the stats in a bit, but I think they had more shots than us, I believe, which was a first for this season. But Sam Amayar, we talk about him, and we said at halftime that he's looked like he struggled, and but you think it's going to be tough for him because he's 17. He's coming up against seasoned vets like Steve Cook. They're not going to be afraid to give him a good old kick. And, you know, he's got to be intimidated. And he lost a lot of those one-on-ones up high. But we did see Ryan Fraser come on. And that was the move that turned the game around for us, I think. That experience is what we needed. And then it was just a question, can we turn this 1 point into three? Yes, we can. And I thought Fraser changed the game. I thought his movement, I thought he looked frustrated when he didn't get the ball or when those runs didn't come off. And he just gave us more of a different dynamic and more direct. And yeah, it definitely changed the game for us.
Yeah, I'd say so. It was a weird one. I mean, in the first half, there were a lot of crosses into the box. And I'll give your credit. I mean, he did send a few in, as did the Dozy. Problem was that there's like nobody in the right position to get on the end of him. When Mara came on, I thought his positioning was great. I thought I saw him sort of finding that space in the box, like staying just on side, getting himself enough space to get the ball. But then he was denied the service, which was completely confusing for me. But yeah, Fraser, on a number of occasions, and Armstrong both got really frustrated because they're making sort of little runs in behind the line. But either whoever's on the ball doesn't spot it, or they
Stuart
just send it back.
Armstrong or Ryan Manning, yeah, we're just like, ah,
yeah,
a bit too late, or we just go back.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
And he's traded on side, he's got to come back and do it all over again. But yeah, I mean, this is Martin Ball for us.
But Adam Armstrong, he did score, 64th minute, and another goal. And another assist from Ryan Manning. This was a very, very good finish. Like, one thing on his mind as soon as he got that ball was just like a patient after the patient build-up. Yeah, and just a whack and finally paid off. I think, Tim, it was one of those goals that it looks so much better when you look at it again. At the time, it was just like, because it was coming, because we were just going backwards and forwards, side to side. We knew that the pressure was there. And then when it went in, you're just like, yes, relief. You know, we can celebrate a little bit. I don't think we're going to concede again. But when I look back at the goal, I thought, my goodness, I didn't give that enough credit. That was a fantastic goal, Tim.
Yeah, and it started with, you mentioned Fraser coming up. We were able to push and keep the ball higher up the pitch with Fraser being there. And then that gave out Manning the opportunity, the time to slide on up and then eventually get it into Armstrong, who was in the correct position and just made a pure, amazing play to be able to score it. So I think it's his success is the product of the team with that sub, because SAA, I'm going to completely mess up his last name every time I say it, so I'm just going to use SAA. The reason that he wasn't as good is that he was a right winger playing, and he only has a left foot. He doesn't have much of a right foot at all. So you see him always cut back in, and what made things predictable on that right side, and wasn't much of a threat. But when you brought Fraser in on the left, and then you pushed Adozie over to the right, who's much more of a two-footed player, that allowed for that change and that success. So when you look at it all, like, I think that was buildup of the team, the buildup of the changes necessary before Adam Armstrong allowed, basically the team changes allowed Adam Armstrong to flourish and make that shot.
It was good. It was good from Russell Martin, and it was changes that were made at the right amount of time, because there was still time to win this game, as opposed to just sit on the draw like Ruben Saez would have probably done, or try to sit on the draw and then lose like Nathan Jones would have done. But yeah, it's a win first and foremost. Let's be happy about it, but it wasn't the greatest performance, and a performance like that last season meant we were going to lose, because that's what happened. But are you concerned at all that with these players going out that we can continue to keep this going? Because I don't know, Kev, I think we should have made this game a little bit more comfortable, but we struggled to make things happen. And if you look at it from a QPR point of view, especially from Gareth Ainsworth, he would have been happy with his team, and the fans weren't exactly upset about the loss, because if you look at what they're saying about the game, they're saying that it was a narrow defeat and we played really well. I mean, despite having a whopping amount
QPR
of possession. Yeah. Despite having a whopping amount of possession, though, and we were outshot at home against a team with 3 losses out of 4. We know we've got bigger tests coming up very shortly, and we still need to improve if we're going to beat the likes of Leicester, who, by the way, remain perfect. But you know, the window closes in a week. Things can finally settle down then. But I don't know. I'm just a little bit concerned that we're winning. We're getting the 3 points. That's the main thing to take from it. But we're not winning well, like I feel like we should be winning.
Yeah, I mean, I'll try and address those points in order. I mean, the shots that they had, I mean, it was 11 to our 7. I don't know how many of those must have gone to the side netting, but I imagine it's quite a few. The shots that they did have weren't really big opportunities. I guess I'll ask you for the XG in a bit. But yeah, I was frustrated towards the end because, you know, we're on a roll. Armstrong puts us ahead, and we pretty much dominated the game from then on. Mm. And you know, I mean, I'm quite happy for us to shithouse our way through additional minutes just by keeping possession of the ball and not letting them have it at all, and, you know, passing it around the back and around the front and around anywhere. But you can't do that for half an hour. And you want to put the match beyond reach for QPR. And there were opportunities that we had that were just wasted by the midfield passing it back to the defence when there were opportunities to be had.
I don't see it as a half an hour of tippy-tappy keep possession. I mean, I don't have the stats for this exactly, but how many shots did we have after we went 2-1 up?
2 shots, they had 1.
Oh, okay.
So I can remember...
Was Stuart Armstrong?
Manning had a crack, didn't he? Stuart had one. And Fraser had that run one-on-one with the keeper right at the end.
Yeah. Yeah,
that would have been amazing if he'd put that home.
Oh yeah, that would have been something. But I mean, I remember it was I think it was the 90th minute. Yeah, it must have been, because they put the minutes up for 6 minutes added on time, which I was fine with because I thought it was going to be a lot more than that. And I just thought, well, there was people next to me screaming for Saints to crowd the box, just get in the box. But I was just thinking to myself, no, just keep the ball. So at that point, I was fine.
Yeah, at that point, protect the lead. Yeah, fair enough.
And we even had a free kick, didn't we? And they didn't have anyone in the box for it. So QPR built the wall, and it's like, well, we're not going to fucking shoot from here. There's no one in the box. Like, and of course, they just passed it around. And I was happy with that. But obviously, the Saints fans were not, because they were still saying, you know, we can get another one. We can. No, not for me. I don't think it was a half an hour of a jobby of hanging on. It certainly didn't trouble us after that, did they?
I mean, I didn't, apart from, like I said, that moment, can we talk about that? Because that was brilliant. Mara getting taken down at the halfway line and winning that free kick and just instantly takes it and plays in Fraser.
Yes.
That one-on-one run. That was so exciting. Yeah, just willing that to happen. But apparently the ref brought it back. He said he would have disallowed it anyway, even if Fraser would have scored, because apparently Mara didn't stop. The ball wasn't stationary when he took the free kick.
Oh, so what, he just let it go? But, he wanted to break some hearts then.
I mean, looking back at it, I'm not sure. It's kind of 50-50. It's kind of difficult to tell. But yeah, that was my highlight from the last 25 minutes. Yeah, I mean, like I said, we always boss possession, don't we? 74% possession. Yeah, 786 passes, 92% accuracy. Yeah, I always like these stats this season. 958 touches.
Yeah, it's all right if you're winning, but if you get 786 passes and you don't win, then it's like, well, what's the point? Possession for possession's sake is not working. Seven shots to their 11.
Well, it is working. We're unbeaten so far this season. We had seven shots, three on target. They had 11 shots, five on target. Mm. But I think those stats are really flattering QPR.
Well, you say that. Look at the XG. Tim, what's the XG?
1.6 for us.
And for QPR?
1.2.
Okay, 1.6 for us, 1.2 for QPR. Kev?
I'm going to say it's going to be about even. 1.1 each, isn't it?
Okay, us was 0.4.
I'm joking.
No, and QPR was 0.7.
Wow.
QPR, take it. And if you look at all the stats, basically, apart from possession and obviously the scoreline, then QPR did well. You know, you don't need to pass it 786 times. And they still scored. They scored a worldie, really, didn't they? Listen to how they perceived the game. They're saying that there was a narrow defeat, and it was.
They troubled us for about 15 minutes max.
Yeah.
I wasn't that nervous.
No. Okay. Well. Yeah, I just figured.
I thought it was an exciting match to watch. I think any match that you watch under Russell Martin is going to be exciting. There's going to be highs and lows. It's going to be a bit of a roller coaster, but yeah, I'm all in for it, but I just want us to be a bit more ruthless.
I want to see a big win this season. I'm not saying an 8-0 in Sunderland. I'm just saying we need to.
Nah, like a 5-2 or something.
Well, no, a clean sheet. We need a clean sheet. That would be nice.
I wouldn't put Bazuno in your fantasy team.
Tim, your man of the match.
I think Adozie did so much being able to take on players, and he really was dominant down the left side. He was our massive attacking threat, and we led through him throughout the majority of the game. So I love, you know, it's one of those, like, do you want to spread the wealth and tell, Adozie that this was his best game as a Southampton player to me. So Adam Armstrong has been utterly amazing, and he's in the threat right now to be the best player in the championship completely, which is amazing. And then he's playing whatever role, he's scoring, he's doing everything that you could hope for and then some. But Adozie taking the next step up when we needed an attacking threat, scoring the goal, taking on players, making players completely fall to their backside, which was hilarious. If you saw that one where he turned him, he turned him out. That was hilarious.
Was it Steve Cook again, was it?
No, I think it was going to be right in front of you where you guys were sitting too.
No, it was the other end. It was the other,
end.
It was the northern, yeah.
Well, that's thanks. But to me, I think it's going to be Adozie. I want to give it to him, and I want to give him props for stepping up. And this was his. This is good signs to come for him.
I am going to give it to Adam Armstrong. I mean, I've been back and forth on this. I want to give it to Ryan Fraser, because I think, you know, had he played more minutes, I would have given it to him, because I think he changed the game. You know, his speed, desire to get on the ball, always looking to cross, his movement just gave us another option, and it was quite a stubborn QPR defence. But I will give it to Adam Armstrong, because, you know, I don't think he had particularly a good first half. I don't think anybody did. He didn't really do anything, but the second half was much better. He got pulled back into the middle again, and he did get the winner. He had the most blocks in the team as well, and he still runs back and puts in the shift. So, I'm going to give it to Adam Armstrong again. I think it's going to be very difficult for you to take it off of him at the moment.
I'm so glad that I'm last this week, because I was torn three ways, and it was between Adozie and Armstrong. Obviously, they both got a goal each, so they're obvious candidates. But seeing as you've chosen each of them, I'm going to, for the reasons you stated, I'm going to give it to Ryan Fraser.
Player ratings as well. We've had the pundit games again, the player rounds. I hope you've put yours in, everyone. Yeah, I'll give the top five. Stuart Armstrong, fifth with 6.90. Then we go Kyle Walker-Peters with 7. Ryan Fraser, 7.9. Samuel Adozie, 8.0. And Adam Armstrong, 9.0. So there you go. You've spoken. I will give some comments out that we've received as well. What have we got here? A game we should have won and did. Wasn't the prettiest, but 10 points out of 12. is the start we needed for the promotion push. Scared about attack options now. That seems to be a common theme, doesn't it? Another one says, poor defending, but overall a bloody good win. Another says, disappointed, conceded straight away after first goal, but really positive with signing Fraser, changed the game. Armour, a revelation. And the last comment we've got here is E-I-E-I-E-I-O. I'll let you fill in the gaps there. But yeah, thanks for all the comments. So yeah, again, we'll do that next week. You can do it for Sunderland. And speaking of Sunderland, we have them next Saturday. Saturday, the 2nd of September, 12:30 kickoff from the Stadium of Shite. It is on Sky Sports. Tim, what is their nickname?
The Black Cat.
The Black Cats. Kevin, what is your nickname?
Well, they are known as the Mackhams, the Wearsiders, or the Fat Slags, as I like to call them. but yeah, if they're on the River Weir, they can be the Weirdos, the Wearside Weirdos, the Werewolves, or the Weary Men, because they're weary on the ball, they're nervous.
We'll take all of those.
So does that sum up quite well, Tim?
Sure. You know? Well, those of us stateside might know them from what I would say the best soccer series and documentary of all time, Sunderland Until I Die. And the reason for that is based on its realism. I think it's purely realistic, and it's great to be able to see what can be the, you know, I would say the downfall, but the realistic idea that there's things and issues that can come about from being a team in the league and not being successful. So, you know, last year was their first season in the championship after they were just promoted from League One via the playoffs, and they stuck into the championship playoffs in sixth place in the last day of the season. That was primarily pushed on by a few loans pushed in the January window. And overall, they overachieved last season under Tony Mowbray. And even despite the loss to Luton in the playoffs, it was really a success for them. So their last season leader and really their talisman of the team was Amad Diallo, on loan from Manchester United for the full season. He had 13 goals, and that's another person I think we've had loose links with earlier this year. So if we were able to get that opportunity to, you know, get him in our squad, I think he would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So known championship commodity, 13 goals, and would really thrive. So other key players they had, and I'm looking at their loan players because they were the massive contributors. Ellis Sims from Everton, who's now at Coventry. Joel Gelhart back at Leeds. So right there is another 10 goals that they didn't have. So 23 goals from last year that are not there. So looking at, take a look, new transfers. Really, there's only one major one that they've got there, and that's Joe Bellingham, £3 million pounds signing from Birmingham City.
Scored twice last week, didn't he?
Yeah, and you immediately think of, and I'm like, okay, this guy is just basically the younger brother of Jude. He's going to be a CDM. He's going to be really successful, maybe not as successful as Jude is, but that's not really the case. If you look at his heat map for the entire season with Sunderland, he's definitely more of an attacking mid. And while he did like a kind of an eight role at Birmingham City, he even last against Coventry was their striker. So he was the highest up the pitch and only had 1% possession, which is not going to be the best. You want to get the ball to him. He's going to be good. Being able to progress and do everything in the center. And so they have an issue there at striker because of the massive long-term injury of Ross Stewart, who's their primary striker, who tore his Achilles tendon. So there really hasn't been anything else. The rumblings at the window plus the Thursday ahead of the game, let's see them there. I think they're going to be very active. And what scares me is that they're going to basically pop in three or four players and they're going to be great and we're going to not do too well. But how they've started so far, only 4 points in four games, one win, one draw, two losses. And they also were knocked out of the EFL Cup. So they lost to Ipswich, who's doing really well this season. They lost to Preston, who's doing really well this season. They beat Rotherham, who's a relegation candidate, and they drew Coventry, which hasn't pushed on from their playoff push last year, thanks to the loss of Victor Gorkes or whatever.
Jerkovich.
So Looking at its tactics, Tony Mowbray, I mean, he personally, he looks like a scary guy. He looks like a true Englishman who can fight you in a pub, and it's kind of a scary. But so far, 4-2-3-1 all season long, nothing has differed. And how do they play? They're pragmatic. And without that, those wingers, the creative touch up front, they've been fairly lackluster. So with 20 years as a manager, you know, multiple teams that Tony's been able to manage, you know, what are they going to do? And their first three games, they rotated through Job. And while he scored two goals in that that attacking 10 role, and pushing him up to the up top was actually a poor choice. So they play through the triangles with the fullback, their center mids, so Daniel Neal and Ekwa, and like whatever winger that they're out there, and Jack Clark is usually that the winger. So their strengths right now this season, there really aren't any, but they've done a decent job.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, they drop back and they can be compact. I mean, they've let in five goals so far in four games, so who knows? Weaknesses, mentioned it just a couple times. They don't have a true striker. They lack flair and attacking quality outside of Clark, and playing Job out of position, it's not good. It's not going to be. I don't think it's a success. So Job, Clark, Ross are definitely their main key players. With Ross Stewart being completely out after tearing his Achilles tendon, he might be able to come back in the mid to late springtime. No suspensions to be had. So what is a prediction? 12:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. So that's for Central Time Zone. That's 6:30 a.m. for me. I'll wake up at like 6:25 and roll out of bed and start watching the game. But it's the longest away trip of the season outside of Middlesbrough. And, you know, long trip away, early, you know, kickoff right after the signing window, which I think they're going to get a good bunch of players. You got to be lucky to get any result, because every game in the championship is a slog. What do I think? I think it's a 2-1 loss.
After everything you said, there's no.
You got my confidence up, and then.
You did me as well. Like, do you know so much so, Tim, that I had a 1-1 draw, but I decided to change it based on your preview, because like the lack of goals that they seem to just have up there, and you know
four goals.
Yeah,
four goals this season,
and the fact that they're playing. Playing Job out of position, I'm going to change it, and I'm going to go 3-1 to Saints. So I had a draw, and now I'm going 3-1. I think so. Stadium of Light, it's always a difficult place to play because those fans are nuts, but massive, massive stadium as well. Beautiful stadium. But yeah, I think we're going to be too good for them. And I think, Kev, it's going to be one of those games where we completely control everything, possession, shots, and maybe we concede a soft one. But I think we're gonna take it quite easily. I think we're gonna win 3-1.
I'm gonna do the same. But yeah, I wasn't too confident going into this. But I'm gonna take your 1-1 draw. It's a difficult place to go. So yeah, point I think wouldn't be too bad actually.
Okay. Right. Okay. So predictions then. We've got five correct 2-1 scores. We had Tony Mears, Kindly Platypus, Colt Baker, Frederick Lazaro, and In the Channel all went 2-1 over QPR. Tim Brucker still has a slender lead over me and Tony Mears. 14 points to Tim and 12 to me and Tony. But yeah, remember, get those Sunderland predictions in. Oh, I will say, Kev, that I gave you an extra point last week for some reason. I don't know why, because I was a point ahead of you and I gave you 12 points. But I've taken that back now, so you're still a point behind me. Sorry, I don't know why I did that. Super Six, round two was won by Tom Hennigan, Jason Braganza, Andrew Knight and Lee Davey with 11 points. Round three is ongoing. The overall lead is Andrew Knight and Stephen Allen on 22 points. Right, really quickly, let's do fantasy for Kevin.
I've currently got 39 points.
Okay.
I think Haaland must have just scored. Yeah, I haven't actually been updating it. I've been a bit slack, so get my team together.
68 points so far. Let's see if Haaland is
bossed it. Yeah, Haaland does.
Yeah, I have Colwell, Gusto, and Nicholas Jackson, and so right there has been a strong push alongside Rashford and Fernandez. Saka's 8. Let's see if Haaland gets any bonus or maybe a late goal.
Take a look at our Podders League. Tim is a standout winner so far. He's beaten all of the Saints score lads. We're in the doldrums, so I don't want to talk about it. In our big league, I'm 76th.
I'm 101st, Kev, so don't worry.
Tim is 13th. Very, very good so far, yeah. But the top three are Crooner, Supreme, Andy Williams. Is Jot a Clue. Goals go in. 182 points. 1 point ahead of him is David Phillips's Diggsy's Dinner. Top of the league, by 6 points is Aaron Rosicki and his team, A Plate of Garnachos. top punnage there.
Tim Gaffer.
Look at Moscow Mush up top of the league right now, doing really well. But I would say that Ray, you have the best team so far because you are 3 points more than me and you missed the first week completely.
Yeah, I did have a good week again.
So. You've been absolutely crushing it. So your team looking really good. I'm sitting fifth of 10 players, and Tim Brucker though is at second place.
Yeah. Question: why does my vice captaincy not get my captain's points? Because I gave the captaincy to Che Adams, and he's just been taken off the bench, and my vice captain was Dewsbury Hall, and he didn't get the points for it.
So your emergency captain gets the points.
Bollocks! Delap is, oh, there you go, yeah, he was on five.
But that's okay, because Dewsbury Hall, at the vice captain, gets 1.5 points, or 1.5 multiplier, so you wanted Delap anyways with 5 points to get your times two. Yeah, so okay. You're looking pretty good.
Yep, not bad at all. Shit, I just realized I got Begovic as my sub-goalkeeper, Kev. What an ass.
I've got him. I had him actually in my team.
No, he was only 1 point. I mean, it wasn't that bad. But my keeper is Melier. I forgot to take him out. He got me two, so not much. Not really bad.
Well, Wilson would have got me seven.
Is he?
Who's Wilson? Is he Preston? Coventry. I can't tell from the shirts.
Coventry, yeah. That's
I love how you have Vestergaard in your team, though. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I have to. he's been playing as well.
He has. Been doing all right, actually.
He's been starting, and that they're gonna crush the league. They're
don't
fantastic.
Say that. They haven't come to
Shankland.
Norwich
is good this year.
Wait till they come to Shankland. They're gonna get absolutely spanked.
It doesn't matter if we sign them. We're just gonna rename it. Shankland.
Yes. Right. Okay. Next week, then we'll be on hand to discuss the Sunderland trip, and we'll look forward to a week off. For the international break, but yes, we will award our player and goal of the month for August, and then we shall return to action post break, and we face the big one. Leicester City are back at St Mary's. Yeah, until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.